Awesome, y'all. Well, hey, we are so excited that you are here to kick off Wake Retreat 2021. I mean, let's give it up, guys. You made it. We didn't think we were going to make it. We had some buses cancel, and we got creative, and you all made it here. So congratulations, and we are excited that you are spending this weekend with us. And so as we get started, I want to share with you guys one of my favorite events out of the entire year, and it just happened. I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and you might know what I'm talking about, but my favorite event out of the year, it's really specific to Texas, but at this event, you can have any food you want, dessert, snack, deep fried, and shared with you to perfection. You can have a funnel cake, literally bigger than your face, covered in powdered sugar, a turkey leg that's massive. You can go see a 55-foot tall, you guys are shouting it out, you guys already know, 55-foot tall statue. What's his name? Big Tex. Guys, it's something that is specific to Texas. And I love the State Fair. I go every single year. It's amazing. But one of the most frustrating things about the State Fair, I hate it every time. The most frustrating, no, that's actually one though. Most frustrating thing is the fair games. Okay, let me explain, all right? Let me explain to you guys. All right, because the fair games, they look super simple. They look super simple, but in reality, they're actually really, really hard. Like you step up to the plate, you're like, hey, I'm just gonna toss this thing around this bottle and I just gotta land it right on this bottle and literally you can't do it. It's like impossible. They rigged this thing to make it so complicated. So let me give you some examples. I got some pictures on the screen. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. So this is the free throw challenge. Okay, so I am a basketball player. And so I think I step up to the plate like, man, I'm back in college. Like I know I can knock this free throw down. This is easy. But in reality, I don't think I've ever won this game, and I've been the last like 15 years, and it's because the rim is actually oval shaped. I don't even know if you guys knew that, and the ball is inflated to the point where it won't go in the hoop. It's rigged, people. It's rigged. You're not just a bad basketball player. It's rigged. I promise. Here's another one. I'll show you. Okay, guys, everyone's played this one. You just have to pop one simple balloon. But in reality, the tip of that dart is dull. They dull it specifically so you can't pop a balloon. And the balloons are deflated so they won't pop. Literally, it's rigged. It's supposed to be simple. You step up. You're like, I can do it. I'm going to win this 25-cent Scooby-Doo stuffed animal bigger than me. And you can't do it. Here's another one. What do we got? Oh, okay. All right. This one will make a grown man cry. This one, you cannot knock these milk bottles down. It's because you see those the bottom bottles. I've done some research, people. The two bottom bottles are actually 10 pounds. And so when you throw it, it's just made to ricochet off and they're not going to knock down. It's rigged. It's supposed to be simple. In reality, it's really complicated. Here's another one. Last one I got. Okay. So what is this one? Ring toss, right? Okay, so they make the rings plastic and small, so they just bounce off the top of these bottles and they never actually are able, like 1 in 1,000 chance you're gonna land this on the bottle. But they advertise it like it's gonna be super simple. Anyone can do it. And you step up and you realize it's super complicated. So where am I going with this? Where am I going with this? I think those are great examples and really setting up the weekend well to talk about what's supposed to be simple, straightforward, and clear is made really complicated by our culture. And what I'm talking about is our faith. What culture does, like you guys have access to every bad idea at the tip of your fingers, that the culture we're living in is getting increasingly confusing and unclear. And what God has designed to be simple, straightforward, and clear, and uncomplicated, the culture has twisted and turned and made it confusing. And so this weekend, we want to talk about the clear message of what Jesus did and some clear things we can learn about in our faith to help us. Because if we can't get the simple things right, then we don't understand what our faith is supposed to be. And so if you're taking notes tonight, we're going to be talking about the simple message of Jesus and what he came to do. The simple message of the gospel. and why it's clear. And I want to read this quote because I think it highlights this entire weekend, and it's going to be on the screen. And it was actually in our hype video, but it's this. You don't have to know a lot of things for your life to make a lasting difference in the world, but you do have to know a few great things that matter, perhaps just one, and then be willing to live for them and die for them. The people that make a durable difference in the world are not the people who have been mastered by many things, but who've been mastered by one great thing. In a complex world, there should be something that is straightforward, which is our faith. And so if you're taking notes, the first point I want to make and be absolutely clear, these points are going to be straightforward and clear so you guys understand exactly what I'm talking about, is that God has made the message clear. God has made the message clear. What I mean by that, if you look in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are your gospels. 13 times in those gospels, Jesus says two simple words that are straightforward and clear because he wants to invite his people into a relationship that they can understand. And he says two simple words that I love found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Here's what he says. He says, follow me. Follow me. And I will send you out to fish for people. He's talking to his disciples right now. Jesus is basically saying, he's saying, hey, don't come follow the rules. He doesn't say, come follow a religion. He doesn't say, come follow a morality. He doesn't say, clean yourself up and then come to me. He doesn't say, behave and then you can act right and then come into a relationship with me. What Jesus does, he invites us on a journey with him. He says, come into a relationship with me. Two simple words that were straightforward and profound. Our faith is intended to be clear. And that's what Jesus wanted to show in that verse. And I love that verse because the reason that you are sitting in those crazy creeks right now, or some of you have crazy creeks, some of you don't, or on the ground, the reason that you're in this room is because those two simple words were used to invite a few men into Jesus' circle and then advance the gospel, who eventually wrote God's word and eventually started the universal church. The reason those two words are so simple yet so profound because they had power to advance this message of Jesus. And I think the problem with our culture today, is we are so easily entertained by different things. Like for example, every single year there's new iPhone comes out, all right? And what do? People literally pitch tents, camp, and literally stay in line to get a new iPhone that they bought literally 9 months before. Because every year it's outdated. They want something new, right? And not even that, movies. Like literally you see a movie and then it instantly becomes old and you want to go see the next movie and the next movie and the next movie. Everything in our culture easily gets old. And Paul in this next passage is going to be describing this mentality that our culture has, that we are just fascinated by new things. And he's talking to this group of people, this church in Corinth, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to keep it really clear for you guys. Because you're fascinated by these celebrity teachers and these fog machines and these lights, he's just saying, hey, I want to keep it simple. Why? Because the message of Jesus never gets old. It is active and it's growing and it's always, always relevant. And here's what he says. I love this passage. This is the highlight verse of our weekend. If you're taking notes, write this down. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. Here's what he says. You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in God's sheer genius, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I love what he says right here. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he has done. Jesus crucified. He said, I didn't come to perform a show. I came to proclaim Christ. I came to proclaim the truth. I didn't come to entertain you. I came to give you the truth of God's word that never grows old, that's always active. And so when I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about being a dad. Okay, so I have a 2-year-old son, or he just turned 2 in August. And one of the reasons I love being a dad is because I get to enjoy things that I used to do as a kid. And so what I usually do with my son is, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but build a blanket fort. I mean, who loves building a blanket fort? I mean, come on now. You get every blanket in your house. You go to every closet, all the quilts, you push the chairs together. You build this massive fort in your living room. And I'm not going to brag or anything, but I don't build forts, people. I build castles. I'm a castle builder. I build castles out of those blankets because it's so much fun. We turn the whole living room into a blanket castle, and it's amazing. I love it. The next thing we always do is we jump on the trampoline. We just got a trampoline. Who jumps on the trampoline? I mean, come on. Does that ever literally get old? I mean, I'm double bouncing my two-year-old. Like, I don't care. I mean, he's flying, right? Because that trampoline's amazing. Everyone loves the trampoline. There's another one example I actually thought of the other day. But whenever I go grocery shopping, has anyone ever pushed the cart and then you ride on that cart and you're just like, boom, like you're just flying, like you're just cruising down that aisle trying to get some breakfast cereal and all that. Like, you love jumping on that cart. Why? Because it's super fun. It never gets old. That was a few examples that I was thinking about. But I think that's really relevant to just what we're talking about today. That those things that I mentioned that I've realized never get old. They never get old. They never really go out of style. Like, I promise you, when you get older, you're still going to enjoy doing those things. You're still going to enjoy playing hide and go seek and eating goldfish. All that stuff is fun. And it's because they don't get old. And what Paul's saying in this passage and what I want you guys to communicate, or what I want to communicate to you, is that the gospel never gets old. That the message of the gospel, Jesus Christ, plain and simple, never gets old. Always active, something that we can return to every single time. And that's what Paul's saying in that passage. And that's what we can understand and learn. And so if you've never heard that message, I'm going to share with you plain and simple what the gospel is, really clear, really clear. And that the gospel, if you've heard the gospel, here's my ask. My ask is that you wouldn't say, hey, I've heard this before. But you would turn your mind and say, hey, I need this again. I need this again. Not I've heard this before, but I need this again. And here's what the gospel is. It's not that God is good, you are bad, try harder, we'll see you next week. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that God is the most significant and important treasure in all the universe, that is infinitely kind and infinitely compassionate. And he has all those attributes. And those attributes are amazing, that he's all-powerful and all-knowing, and he loves you. But the reality is that if you have made a mistake, if you've missed the mark, if you've sinned, the Bible calls that sin, those attributes that I just talked about, they don't help you much. They don't help you much. Why? Because the Bible says that we are enemies of God. We are enemies of God because we aren't perfect. We serve a God who's holy and perfect. And we can't be in a relationship with a holy and perfect God. And so we are under the wrath of God. But what Jesus did, Jesus served as our perfect sacrifice. Jesus paid the penalty that we deserved. Jesus died the death that we deserved and lived a life perfectly. Fully God and fully man. And when you embrace that message, you know what you get? You get the favor of God. And you know what that means? That means you don't need anyone else's approval. You know why? Because you have the most important person in all the world. You have their approval. And so you don't have to care about what they think, what she thinks, what he thinks, because you have the most important person's approval. That's the gospel. And that changes everything about you when you understand it, plain and simple. That's what it is. And so I want you to think about this, that every problem in your life, literally right now, anxiety or fear or people pleasing, or maybe depression or conflict or insecurity or your siblings, whatever it is, every problem in your life has one common source and one common solution. The source is sin and the solution, I mentioned it. It's Jesus. And you don't even have to question it. It's not complicated. It's true. And it's simple. And it changes your life. It's Jesus. And so here's what I want you guys to understand about this important message. Is the point is on the screen. Is the gospel is the most important thing in your life because it answers the most important problem in your life. The gospel is the most important thing in your life because it answers the most important problem in your life, which is sin. It's the most important thing. And so the problem with that message is the problem becomes confusing, which is my second point. is that the enemy has made this message confusing. Scripture says that Satan is crafty, meaning he's smart. It talks about that he is the father of lies, meaning that his goal, his tactic is to confuse you, is to confuse you. That's what the culture's goal is. And the enemy's goal is he wants to put a question mark where God has put a promise. And here's what it says in Genesis 3, a verse you've probably heard before, but I want to really lean into what it says. It says that now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say?" First question mark in the Bible right here. Did God really say? Basically, God told Eve this promise, don't eat from this tree. And then Eve took it and said, "Hey, I don't know if God really said that," because Satan was crafty and put a question mark where God had clearly put a period and said, "This is a promise, don't do it." And then he questioned it, or she questioned it. And so I think that can be our temptation in our world, is that we can easily question what God has clearly showed us. What I mean by that is the enemy wants to make the message confusing. And so what we say in our own heart is we can tend to believe like, hey, is following God that really, really big of a deal? Like, does God truly care about me? Does God really want my best interests? Does God really care about every area of my life? We start to question those things because the enemy wants to confuse us. And we start to put questions on that. And so how many of you guys are on sports teams? Right? Played sports before. Raise your hand. Most of you guys, right? Okay, so you've been on a sports team before, and what differentiates a good team or a good team from a bad team is the good team does one thing, that they always study their opponent, right? Your coach would never go into a game and just say, "Hey, do whatever you want." The coach would say, "Hey, here's the offense that team's running. Here's the defense that team's running. Here's exactly what they're doing. I need to study their strategy in order to know how to run my offense," right? Right? That's what great teams do. They watch game film. They study scouting reports. They know the strategy of the opponent. And that is what we need to do as believers, is to understand the strategy of Satan. To understand the strategy of the enemy. And what he wants to do is confuse us. And when we know that, we can be really clear on the promises of God, to study our opponent. And so the last point I want to make tonight as we close is that not only is the enemy made the message confusing, that we should see the message as compelling. That we should see this message as compelling. And so recently, my friend, he's a resident here, JP, some of you guys have probably met him. JP calls me up. JP works this place called Lifetime Fitness, okay? Some of you guys have probably heard of it. It doesn't sound that cool, but they just built this one out in Plano. And it is, I mean, think about the Dude Perfect factory or whatever they call that Dude Perfect headquarters. I mean, I walked into this place and I was like, where am I? I mean, this place had everything. Literally a smoothie bar in the corner. You could literally get your hair cut. You could go to a sauna, a spa. There's a hot tub. There's any place to work out you could ever imagine. It's the biggest, like, literal factory I've ever seen where you could basically live inside this thing. It's amazing. And he calls me up and he says, "Hey, I got access to this place. Because I work there, they're letting me come in and bring a friend. You want to come?" And so I'm like, you know, yes, I'm coming. I'm going. And so we show up. He swipes me in and we just literally spend the day there. And it was incredible. And he buys me everything. I get free smoothie, free food. It was incredible. And this whole time I'm like, hey, I mean, is there anything I can pay for? Like, I would love to pay for the smoothie or this drink or whatever. I want to pay for this, you know, smoothie. How can I help? And he goes, no, I got it. And the only reason I got into that place is because his credibility. The only reason that I got in there is because, hey, his resume, he's the one who worked there. I didn't. I simply got in there because I knew him. And I think that's a really good just illustration around the gospel. It's a simple just idea around what Jesus has fully done for us, is that I had no merit to go in on that, to go into that place. But because of what my friend had done, man, I was invited in. And here is what Ephesians says. It just says, "But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far off from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. First, Christ himself has brought peace to us. And so what that is saying is Jesus has granted us access to God. And because we go to God, we now have peace with God because of Jesus. Because Jesus' credibility has given us an ability to have a relationship with God. And so here's what I want you guys to understand is that we bring nothing and leave with everything. Like literally, we don't bring any type of performance, any type of thing we can do on our own, and we leave with peace with God. I mean, that's the best relationship that I know about. You bring nothing and you leave with everything. And so here's what I want to do as we close. Love everyone's attention. Eyes up here. Is I want to ask this question. Because it's a question I don't think we've actually asked before at Wake. And I think it's a really helpful question just to set up our time. Is this question. On a scale of 1 to 10. Some of you guys have probably heard this before. But if you were to die tonight, how sure are you that you would go to heaven? Just think about that. Just think about that. Just to yourself, quietly. Quietly. To yourself. On a scale of 1 to 10. How sure? When I say 10, I mean absolutely sure. If you knew that you were going to go to heaven tonight, you knew you would stand before God. You knew your eternity is secure. And then 1 being, hey, I'm not sure. I don't know what that opportunity will look like. I don't even know how to have that opportunity. I'm between a 1 and a 9, and I'm stuck with, man, maybe I'm not good enough with God. Maybe I'm not good with God. Me and God aren't good. I've been doing some things that I'm not proud of. I'm ashamed of. I'm hiding something, and I'm not sure where I'll end up. And so I just love everyone to close their eyes right now. Just close your eyes with me. And if you're at all between a 1 and a 9, if you're all between a 1 and a 9, just everyone to close your eyes. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Awesome. You can put them down. Put them down. If you're a 10, well, you're just absolutely sure. I know. You can raise your hand. Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, I just want to speak for a second. You can put your hands down. You can look up here. I just want to speak for a second to the 1 and 9. The 1 and 9. Because what you're saying when you're between a 1 and a 9 is that I can do it on my own. It's based on my own performance. Like I can do it. I've done enough good things that I can eventually get to God, and you don't have to leave here with chance. You know, it's not a coin flip. What God offers is certainty. Here's what Romans 10:9 says. It just says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. That's certainty. That we can walk out of here with certainty, knowing absolutely sure where our eternity is. And I know a few of you guys raised your hand. And so if that was you tonight, then I encourage you, don't walk, don't leave this weekend without talking to somebody. If you're not sure, if you're questioning God, you're not even sure how to have a relationship with God, do not leave this weekend without sharing that with your leaders or sharing that with somebody. Because we want to give you guys the assurance that you can be absolutely sure to be a 10, because it's based absolutely on the work of Jesus and not on our work, all right? And the reason I love that story as we close, the reason I love that story so much, and it's so compelling, because every great story you ever watch or ever encounter has a turning point. Literally, every story. I'm talking about Peter Parker, all right? Literally was a nobody, off the street, bit by a mutant spider. What happens? Becomes Spider-Man, right? Crazy story. His life was going one direction, and then this happened, an event happened in his life, and he was going the other direction, right? Let me give you another example. Tony Stark, right? Who's Tony Stark? Right. He gets captured in this war zone, gets hurt, and then figures out how to save himself by putting on this suit. Literally, his life was going one direction, something happened, and then everything changed. It was a turning point. Last one, Clark Kent. Who knows Clark Kent? Easy. If you didn't know that, you need to watch it. Superman. Clark Kent leaves planet Krypton. What does he do? Comes to Earth, becomes Superman. Turning point, right? Everything was going one direction, and then everything changed. Guys, come with me real quick. Finish up. Every great story has a turning point. And the gospel for a believer, the gospel for anyone, is the turning point in your faith. Can be the turning point in your faith. Or today, that you guys can make that decision where you say, hey, I'm gonna take my faith seriously. I'm gonna take one small step towards God to trust him. Or I'm gonna understand that my relationship with God maybe just isn't right. And I just need to ask. I need to ask for his help for one time in my life. Then I pray that you guys would understand that. You guys would see this weekend as a turning point in your faith, and you would lean in and you'd understand the simplicity of what we get to do as believers, the clear truth in a world that's complicated. Complicated. All right, so you pray with me. Lord, I pray that we'd understand the clear truth of the gospel, that we'd understand that there's nothing we could do to earn your approval, but because of your son, everything changed. It was the turning point in our life when we believed in the certainty that we will be saved, when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. So I pray no one would walk away feeling confused about that message, that no one would walk away unsure of where their eternity lies, Lord. And I pray that this weekend would be something that changes lives because they understand the clear truth of what you've communicated through your word, that you love us. In your name we pray. Amen.